You're listening to Talk of the Rock with your host, Kayla Darroch, and I have a couple of guests with me today. Could you introduce yourselves?
I'm Blythe Brown with the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District.
And I'm Marie Rice, and I am serving on the board with the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us today. First of all, what are soil and water conservation districts?
Okay. Soil and Water Conservation Districts came about, we're kind of a grassroots organization after the Dust Bowl. They decided that something needed to be done. And as a result of the Dust Bowl, the Soil Conservation Service federal program was developed. And we're the grassroots arm of them, kind of not a federal program, but authorized by the feds, is that?
Yes, the USDA. Yeah.
Could you further explain the connection between the district and the Federal Soil Conservation Act, which came from the Dust Bowl?
It came from the Dust Bowl. The act was to conserve soil and prevent erosion in response to the Dust Bowl.
What was the Dust Bowl for those who are not familiar?
A mass erosion event.
Okay.
Through droughts and overuse of grasslands, the soil was bared, and also through overplowing, not growing cover crops during the winter, it left the soil bare to the winds. And the wind would pick up the soil, and there, during the Dust Bowl era, there was so much dust in the air that it would cause like blackout conditions.
Yeah.
How far into Alaska did it reach?
I really don't know what the Dust Bowl did up here in Alaska. It was down below. It was in the 1930s. 1935 was the Federal Soil Conservation Act that responded to the conditions. And then all across the country, that was when they authorized soil conservation districts. And so even, I really don't know what the weather was doing up here, whether we had the same impact here that they did down in Kansas or some of the other places, but what happened down there impacted everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I was reading your info sheet, and it says that SWCD is a quasi-state entity. What does that mean?
We're weird. We're authorized by the federal act. As I said, that's the whole Soil Conservation Act of 1935, which authorized each state to implement a soil conservation district. And it was left up to the states, is my understanding, that each state kind of did it a little bit differently, maybe. Alaska, here, we are under the Department of Natural Resources, the DNR. And so we're under them. So we are authorized by the state. We have to follow state rules and regulations. We have to report our activities to the state, and our financial statements all go to Alaska, the DNR. But we're not state employees. We're not an actual state, full-fledged state entity with any regular funding. We get $2,500 every year from DNR to do everything that they say we have to do.
Okay, and how are you governed, or how do you decide what to do in your year as a work?
On the ground work, we have a board of supervisors, volunteer board of supervisors, which Marie is one of. And hopefully that phone call is Chris Flickinger, one of our ranchers. He was going to call in he was herding cows this morning, so he couldn't be here in person, but he is our current board chair. But Marie is here. She can speak to what the volunteer board of supervisors does.
Well, we have opportunities like this to come and Vienna, KMXT Talk the Rock, but we oversee different projects that the district has opportunities to be involved with, and Blythe has been involved with many of those over the years, and we make the decisions on how to stretch the dollars, which are becoming less and less. And we have several projects that I think we will kind of run through here. What are some of the ones in the past?
Well, before we get into that, I'd just be really curious to know why you've been interested in being a board member, because I understand that you have a whole variety of gardeners and growers and just a bunch of people who are invested in the land in Kodiak. So I'd like to know what gets you onto the board.
Well, I've had a history for a lot of years. I got involved in Kodiak's agriculture in 1962. And there's so many different areas for contributing your talents. And also I've been involved with the ranching and farmers markets. I've been a 4-H leader for 36 plus years, and I don't think there's a retirement plan there. And we've had different agriculture groups. The Kodiak Farm Bureau is still present here, and I've been involved with that. And so when invited to be on the Kodiak Soil and Water Conservation District, it was a very natural thing to keep working with the people in Kodiak that are concerned with sustainability and growing.
You said you were involved in ranching?
Yes. Yes. In 1962, my husband, Omar Stratman, and I purchased a ranch at Kelson Bay, and we did everything from birthing those animals to putting them in market packages for sale. And so we had the full gamut of that. And there's a lot involved with the land on maintaining good pastures and all that, which was just part of the practice. But that is one of the areas of concern for the soil and water conservation districts.
The quality of the soil?
Yes. And that you manage it so that the cattle don't overgraze areas, and that you can manage so you can have winter pastures. And shipping feed in here is a big cost.
Mm-hmm. How much is the feed?
I know one winter with severe winter, and that was when feed was much cheaper. We put $50,000 in. Just in importing feed.
Wow.
So it pays to grow as much as you can.
Right. And so back to the Board of Supervisors, I understand there's also a position called cooperator?
It's kind of our membership list. They've got different terminologies sometimes depending on which agency you're working with. A cooperator is somebody who signs on with us. A supporter of conservation districts. There's no real commitment that you have to make, but by having cooperators, it helps us leverage funding if we know we have a lot of people supporting us. But as a cooperator, you also get something back. We can help look at your land if you have questions on how to manage your land or gardens properly. We have the resources to help come in or bring somebody in to, what's it called here? I'm not supposed to read, but
it's okay. It doesn't
my
really.
My brain was, yeah. It'll just,
we'll
you
come
know,
back to
responsible management of your land. Like, don't have too many animals on your property to, as Marie was talking about, to overgraze it. If you have horses, there's a there are ways you can diminish the erosion and the mud. Right now, we don't have dust problems in Kodiak. We have mud problems this winter. And if you like, for instance, create a hardened area for your horse, in your pasture, then they're not going to get out into the grassy area and damage what should be their grazing area for the summer. If they're stomping all over it in the wintertime and get it all muddy and hard-packed, then it won't be able to grow properly in the summer. So just things like that on how to manage your land properly.
Do you go in there and you do an analysis, or is it by the phone consultation?
We can do either. Right now, because of budget shortages, our conservation district, the Kodiak Conservation District, we're actually pretty short-staffed right now. But we're hoping if we can get some more support, operating funds, then we'll be able to hire more people and actually have people to visit. We do have a little bit of funding right now. The NRCS, Natural Resources Conservation Service, which used to be the Soil Conservation Service, is now NRCS. They've given us some funding to conduct surveys and assessments of people's property. So if we can get some operating funds to keep our office open, then maybe we can hire somebody that can actually get out and visit more of the places around the island.
Is that a possibility that the office could be closed here in Kodiak?
It is. We have just recently cut our admin assistant back to just a few hours a week because we don't have operating funds. We're funded mostly, soil and water conservation districts across the country get their funding in a variety of ways. Some places have county taxes that support their districts or resource fees. User fees. I know right now they're talking about getting user fees for the parks to keep the parks open here. Well, we don't have, in Alaska and in Kodiak, we don't have any user fees that can support agriculture or natural resource protection here.
So how will this coming fiscal year be different from prior ones?
We have project funds. But most of our project funds here are grant-funded. I have some fish and wildlife funding that supports us for invasive plants. We have a little bit of funding left over still for the invasive crawfish surveys in the Buskin. We have, as I said, the NRCS funding will help support some resource surveys and agricultural support. We have a little bit of funding for our community garden that's grant-funded for that, too. We're looking to get more funding for that so we can get water put in there. But all of those grants, almost every single grant, anybody that gives away money wants to give away money to get things done for the actual project. And they don't want to support all those indirects and somebody once, I was trying to, as I was writing some grants, somebody once gave me the analogy of, indirect money is something like filling the stapler or, bringing the recycle paper out or something. It's a cost that should be spread over everything, not just a particular project. Like my fish and wildlife invasive plants funding, they don't want to pay me to fill the staplers for working on the community garden. It's not fair to them. They want their money to go to invasive plant work. And so that's what we're missing, is the operating funds to keep our office going and to keep an admin assistant in the office to meet people as they come in the door.
And so you're mostly applying for grants, is that so?
That's the way we keep ourselves going right now, and because we're that quasi-state entity, we don't have any regular state funding coming in. $2,000 doesn't go very far when the state is asking us to write activity reports for them, to write the annual plan and the annual report and our monthly meetings and meet minutes for the monthly meetings and a financial statement every month. $2,000 doesn't go very far, so we need some general funds to do all those things that keep our office open.
Have you, Marie, or any of the other board members thought about turning to the community for fundraising and possible events?
We've done that with the Community Garden Project, and we've had a number of groups contribute money to that. And we charge a fee for that. We have 24 beds that are 4 by 24 feet. And there's an agreement that they will follow there. But we had all of those beds. Last year was our first year, and we had all 24 beds with people growing crops there. And it was quite successful and received a lot of attention. So they pay a fee to rent, I guess, the space, and it's almost self-sustaining with the generosity of a number of contributors. So we think that's a good thing. We are applying for a grant for water there. We made it through a year without having an actual water system there, and the city and borough is willing to work with us on allowing that, but we need to get more funds for that.
We have put on an annual harvest festival at the end of the year, and a couple of years we did have some silent auction items that brought in a little bit of money. But so far we haven't ever put on a large fundraising event like Island Trails does or some of the other groups around town. It's a good idea if we had some of our cooperators come and help us put on a big fundraising event. That could be fun.
Well, speaking as an entirely objective journalist, I love muffins, so I think that you guys should turn towards the baked goods route. What do you think?
We have talked about the bake sales there in front of Safeway. So we just haven't done a bake sale yet.
Well, I would encourage it. So the Conservation District here in Kodiak has done a lot of projects and had a lot of partnerships. So if you could talk about some of those partnerships, that'd be good.
Wow, we talked as a conservation district because we're one of those quasi entities that we're not really a state entity. We're not really we are nonprofit. We have a nonprofit umbrella, but because of our strange grassroots status, we can work with anybody. So we work with all the private landowners around here. We work with the native corporations, Fish and Wildlife Service, ADF&G. Shunack Tribe right now, we're partnering with them. Hopefully, if they get some funding, then we'll partner with them for crawdad surveys. Some of the other projects we've worked on, the borough. The culvert replacements out there last year coming out of Lake Orban. The Kodiak Island Borough partnered with us. We had Fish and Wildlife funding coming through. The borough, Dave Conrad was in charge of the borough piece of it, and he came out and inspected, and they actually hired the contractor through the borough. We gave funding to the borough, and combining of funds together made the project a huge success.
Have you worked with the borough before then?
The soil and water, I think the borough, you know, before my time, there was another, a Clean Lakes project. Murray, were you around then? Do you know
I was aware of it, but I was not on the board. I
know they worked with the city back for the Clean Lakes project. They did some water sampling in lakes, the urban lakes here in town. And then out of that, when they discovered problems with some of the lakes, out of that came some other projects, such as the settling ponds into Potato Patch. So even though the district did not contract to put those settling ponds in, the whole partnership and everybody working together, that's what came of it.
Can you talk a bit about the Mercury Deposition Network?
Unfortunately, that's one that just got unfunded. It's Mercury Deposition Network. It's a network all across the country of stations where we were collecting rainwater, and our samples would be sent to a lab down in Washington to be tested for mercury content, and then that data would be sent to the University of Illinois where they analyzed it. And so all these stations all across the country are monitoring pollutants coming out of the rain. In Alaska, our station was sponsored by DEC, Department of Environmental Conservation. And as everybody knows, the state just lost funding. And that particular program was defunded. So they are, our station here in Kodiak has been shut down. There was a station in Sandpoint, maybe? I'm not sure exactly where it was. Someplace out on the Aleutians and one other station in Alaska, all shut down. We're looking for funding for that one, but right now we haven't found anybody that can replace that.
Were these stations chosen to be shut down because there wasn't so much of a danger, that there wasn't so much of a need for the mercury deposition network?
No, it's strictly a funding issue.
Hmm.
We are actually the first station that some of the weather systems coming across from China. So the coal plants in China might be putting mercury into the air, and then it comes across in the weather systems, and then our station would detect it. So we're just going to be a blank space on the map now.
How much did it take to fund the program per year, roughly?
I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I'm guessing about $25,000. Mm. Not a lot, but in the big picture. You know, it took, DEC had a manager that kept track of everything, and they actually owned the station itself, the physical water sampling structure. And then it took, you know, paying us to go out and collect it once a week. It just takes a couple hours. Less than an hour, it's out at the fairgrounds. And then we would mail it, so once again, cost to FedEx the sample down to Washington. Just little bits of money around in the whole program, but overall, it was too much that DEC couldn't handle anymore.
What, in another project, Envirothon?
That's a fun one. That's an educational project with through the high schools. It's actually a North American Envirothon with competitions all across the country. And we here in Kodiak started our own little Kodiak Envirothon. Jane Eisman, who just retired from Kodiak High School, she wanted to give her kids a little more on-the-ground experience and educational opportunities. So she recruited a bunch of us natural resource people from around the community. I helped with the forestry station. Other people helped with the aquatics and the soils. Each year there's a topic that changes yearly. One year it was invasive species, so the Soil and Water Conservation District was able to help with that particular station that year also. Unfortunately, this year there's been a change. Jane retired, and I think they're taking a rest, letting things move and let the new teachers get settled a little bit. So we're not going to sponsor or have a Kodiak Envirothon this year. It's also through FFA, and I'm not sure exactly. I think there's a new FFA advisor this year, too, so I don't know what the whole situation is there. But the Soil and Water Conservation District, instead of the Envirothon, we were approached by the forestry, I don't remember what exactly his, the local, he actually works for the refuge, but he's with on a forest, urban forest committee on the state. They would like to sponsor a Arbor Day activity this year, because this is the 50th year of Arbor Day in Alaska, and it was started by a Maine elementary fourth grade class, I hear. 50 years ago, they saw that Alaska didn't have an Alaskan Arbor Day, so they petitioned for it and got it, and so there's going to be, stay tuned for events concerning that this year.
All right, and we have a couple of more minutes. So for any interested listeners who might want to donate or support you in some way, what can they do?
Our office is at 518 West Marine Way. We're right above Tony's Bar, or if you're on the mall, there's a glass door with the green sign beside it that says Service Center. You go up the stairs and all the way to the end of the hallway. I've got weed posters and wanted crawdad posters and garden posters on the wall. So they can come into the office, or they can call us, 486-5574. If they want to talk to me personally, they can. I've got a work cell phone, 539-5372. They can catch Marie at Safeway. A lot of Kodiak activities or work gets done at the Safeway aisles. Chris Flickinger is out there in Passag Shack. Catch him as he's riding by on his horse.
All right. Well, thank you, Marie and Blythe, so much for joining us. You've been listening to Talk the Rock. Thanks for tuning in.